Radio Prague News. A Social Democrat MP has said he plans to leave the party's faction to sit as an independent. President Václav Klaus has begun a week-long visit to Africa, and the Health Ministry is considering inviting citizens of the new EU countries to fill vacancies in the Czech Republic's health sector. Social Democrat MP Miloš Melčák has said he plans to leave the party's faction to sit as an independent, a move that could tip the balance of power in a hung parliament. Mr. Melčák told the news server Aktuálně.cz that he had been facing a lot of pressure in recent days. He did not rule out he might vote for the new government of Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, regardless of his party's stance. Mr. Melčák would be the second Social Democrat deputy to leave the party faction. In October, MP Michal Pohanka left the faction after a television report linked him with people charged with fraud. President Václav Klaus has begun a week-long visit to Africa. On Thursday, he arrived in Nigeria to meet President Olusegun Obasanjo. President Klaus is travelling with his wife Livia and a delegation of Czech businessmen and officials from the Foreign, Defence and Industry Ministries. One of the topics to be discussed in Nigeria will be the sale of a fleet of Czech-made L-159 aircraft. On Saturday, President Klaus is due to visit South Africa. The Health Ministry is considering inviting citizens of the new EU countries to fill vacancies in the Czech Republic's health sector. Health Minister Tomáš Julínek said that another chance of making up for the lacking staff would be a retraining of employees. Czech medical facilities already employ many nurses and doctors from Slovakia and countries in Eastern Europe. Czech doctors and nurses often head for Britain and Germany in search of higher incomes. The High Court in Prague has abolished the verdict that acquitted the former head of the children's choir Bambini di Praga, Bohumil Kulinski, of sexual abuse of two underage female members of the choir. The case is to be reappraised by a lower-level court in Hradec Králové, East Bohemia. Mr. Kulinski, who's 47, is suspected of abuse of a total of 49 girls from his choir. The Hradec Králové court dealt with only two of the cases. The remaining 47 have been handled by a court in Prague. Bohumil Kulinski maintains he's innocent. And finally, a glance at the weather. The next few days should be partly cloudy with scattered showers and temperatures around 10 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková, and that's the end of the news.
This is the International Service of Czech Radio. My name is Dita Asiru. And today, heavy negotiation and discussion as the Civic Democrats unveil their latest proposal for new government policy program. A nurse confesses to the murder of 8 patients. We ask, are hospitals in this country safe? Temperatures just like on the Canary Islands. No snow means no skiing in the Czech Republic. And later in the program, a vaccination to prevent cervical cancer is launched. Now stop me if you've heard this one before, but the right-of-center Civic Democrats have just unveiled their latest proposal for a new pro-reform government. The Civic Democrats will hold talks with the other political parties next week before taking the proposal to President Václav Klaus. So does it stand a greater chance of success than the party's first attempt to form a government, which ended in failure last month? Rob Cameron joins me now in the studio. Rob, we've heard so many proposals and potential cabinets over the last 6 months, and all of them have come to nothing. What's different about this one?
Well, I hate to say it, Dita, but probably not much. It certainly has a very grand title. The Civic Democrats are calling their proposal 7 Magnificent Reforms for the Future, covering such areas as public finance reform, pensions and healthcare. But what's less clear is who would be in this government. There's speculation in the newspapers that the Civic Democrats would have 5 cabinet seats, plus, of course, keeping the post of Prime Minister. 5 seats would go to the Social Democrats, 2 would go to the Christian Democrats, and the rest to non-partisan figures.
Now, for some, it wouldn't sound so unreasonable. Others, including you, don't sound too optimistic.
No, we've been here before, really, Dita. Also, some of what the Civic Democrats are proposing is very controversial. Peter Joost lectures in politics at Charles University.
If we count the members of parliament for each political party, if we take into account what's the parliamentary mathematics, we clearly see that there has to be agreement between Civic Democratic Party and the Social Democratic Party. Without Social Democrats, Civic Democrats will not be able to form any government. And then we are actually going back to what this program proposes. It proposes, for example, flat tax, which is something that Social Democrats don't want even hear about. There are issues which are very controversial. Therefore, I think that this program will probably not be a base for any stable government.
So, Rob, what's been the response so far to the Civic Democrats proposal?
Well, the three parties that the Civic Democrats will hold high-level talks with on Monday, the Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Greens, are making encouraging noises, but they've done that before, so really that doesn't mean much. The Civic Democrat leader, Mirek Topolánek, says that when President Klaus comes back to Prague next week, he'll present him with one of two potential proposals, a cabinet that will have guaranteed majority support in Parliament, or one that won't. And there are already reports in the media that Mr. Klaus would be against some of the names on the list of ministers. So, hence my lack of optimism.
It's been more than 6 months since the elections and we still don't have a viable government. How much longer, really, can this go on?
Well, not that much longer, I think it's fair to say. Certainly January the 1st, 2007 will be a milestone, if nothing else, because people have almost completely lost interest in what their politicians are doing. Indeed, in today's Mlada Fronta Tanez, for example, Mr. Topolánek's latest plan doesn't even appear on the front page. It's tucked away on page 4. And even political scientists, people whose job it is to study this situation, such as, say, Peter Joost, admit that at times they really just don't know what's going on.
Actually, several times during the after-election crisis, after-election talks, I have said in some kind of joke that I'll probably return my diploma. It was said in kind of joke, but it kind of symbolizes what even we, the political scientists, the political analysts, think about the whole issue. And we should analyze this and comment and provide some information to wide public. And the wide public expects from us that we will tell them how it is. We will explain them how it is, but sometimes we don't even understand how it is.
Political commentator Petr Joost. Rob, thanks very much for giving us that update. The case of the male nurse who killed 8 patients on his ward has shocked the Czech public and opened up many questions regarding security in hospitals, the responsibility of doctors, and the work of the police. Was it really necessary for so many people to die before the culprit was uncovered? And are hospitals safe havens where patients are in competent hands, or a place where one must fend for oneself just like any other? Daniel Lazarová has this report.
The Havlíčkův Brod hospital killings have put all Czech hospitals under intense scrutiny. The public wants questions answered, and the media reports coming out on the subject are not reassuring. This week, Mladá Fronta Dnes published an in-depth report on the general state of Czech hospitals, claiming that one's feeling of safety in hospital was an illusion. It cited 10 of the most frequent malpractices which put patients at risk every day. They include poor storage of medicines, poor records regarding when they are administered to patients, the possibility of a mix-up because patients do not wear identity bracelets and are identified by a bed number. However, patients suffering from Alzheimer's disease or patients who are confused after getting an anaesthetic may easily end up in the wrong bed. There is no standard procedure in writing medical records. Each hospital does things differently, which has resulted in doctors operating on the wrong organ or leg. Another practice is medicine being prescribed over the phone when a patient gets worse overnight and the nurse merely reports the symptoms to the doctor. All these malpractices and more are now under intense scrutiny, and the health minister is demanding action. Motol, Prague's largest hospital, announced on Wednesday it was introducing identity bracelets without delay. Other corrective measures are expected to follow in hospitals around the country. David Marx from the Society for Quality Healthcare says that patients themselves must learn to be more assertive in dealing with nurses and hospital staff.
A patient should never be satisfied with an answer like, "This is some medicine the doctor ordered and this is what I'm giving you." The patient has a right to be informed about any medicine he is going to be given in advance and told what it is for, if not by his own doctor, then by the head physician. Your health is more important than getting your car's brakes serviced, and most of us would not settle for a simple answer where our car is concerned.
Of course, in many cases, patients are in no condition to keep an eye on what is being administered, and in that case, it is up to doctors and head physicians to make sure their orders are being fully adhered to and to take action if they're not. Suspicions of foul play should also be reported much sooner. Right now, hospital security has become a top priority issue and many promises are being made, but it will be a while before Czechs feel totally safe in hospital.
For the past 2 weeks, the Czech crown has been trading at a record high against two major world currencies, the euro and the US dollar. The increasing value of the crown affects not only businesses, but also consumers, especially now, as citizens are flooding shopping centres looking for holiday bargains. Ilya Maritz reports.
Today the Czech crown trades at about 21 to the dollar. In June, a dollar bought more than 22 crowns, so the currency has increased about 5% in value. Against the euro, too, the crown is gaining ground. Economist Tomáš Vlk at Patria Finance says one effect this Christmas season could be strong sales of video games, home electronics, and gasoline.
And then the dollar is cheaper, electronics are cheaper, oil and oil products are cheaper, so it's quite important for some segments of the economy. Cheaper oil and gasoline is better for economy because cheaper energy enhances the growth.
Economists say the crown's recent strong showing has much to do with decisions made by the U.S. and European central banks. Nevertheless, any boost to the Czech economy will likely further increase the value of the crown. It's already humming compared with the U.S. and Eurozone economies.
The Czech economy has pretty high growth. The growth of the Czech economy should be about 6% this year, and there will be only slight slowing of the economy next year. So the performance will be better than the Eurozone and the United States.
Hospodářské noviny reports today that Slovakia may meet conditions for joining the euro in 2009, raising the specter that the Czech Republic's old partner may join the European currency first.
Yes, I think it's quite realistic because the Slovaks, they made a lot of reforms that we are already waiting in the Czech Republic. I think the overall health of Slovak economy is better than the Czech.
Like the Czech crown, the Slovak crown and also the Polish and Hungarian currencies have recently shot up in value against the euro and the dollar. Tomáš Vlk says if you're sitting on a lot of euros or dollars waiting for the crown to go back down, you could be waiting for a while.
The crown will stay high against the dollar in the long term because the Czech crown firms against the euro and the dollar in the long term thanks to good performance of the Czech economy. For example, we have targets for the Czech crown against the US dollar at the end of the next year, 20.8 crowns. So this is a long-term phenomenon.
One thing missing so far from this Christmas season is proper Christmas weather. Snowy conditions and temperatures well below 0 degrees Celsius. So far this month, the mercury has stubbornly stayed well above freezing. Today, for example, it's around 11 degrees. That has some skiers suffering, with very few runs at any ski hills operating. Still, it's too early to get too worried yet. As Jan Wellinger reports, operators are confident things will soon take a turn for the better.
The last winter season was one of the longest in recent memory. This one can't seem to get started. So far this year, the ski season isn't much of a season at all, with temperatures in mountain areas stubbornly refusing to fall. Skiers who hope to be among the first on the slopes will just have to wait. Ski hill operators, while probably not thrilled about the late start either, have at least taken advantage of the situation to complete final touches, for example, weight testing new chairlifts. Earlier, I spoke with Ratka Zaharova, a representative of Snowhill, a company operating a number of high-profile ski hills in the Czech Republic, including North Bohemia's Ješked Mountain.
It's surprising we still don't have snow yet, but we are waiting for cooler weather in about 1 week. Usually we have snow in the beginning of December, but the season seems to be a little bit different, but we are working with the weather in our business and that we have to take this situation into account. We are looking forward to get the snow before Christmas, and we will have this season running till at least the end of March.
Though there's no question the season could have begun a lot sooner, last year started mid-November, the late start is not that unusual, and travel agencies, too, have not really registered any significant impact on package sales. Tomáš Brejcha, spokesman for the Čedok travel agency, says that experienced skiers understand that the beginning of the season is always a bit of a risk.
Most skiers, of course, count on conditions being better in the new year. Lately, we didn't see a drop, but actually a rise in the number of clients. But they're not skiers. As a rule, many who travel at the end of the year don't go for skiing, but for outdoor walks and hiking.
If there is a negative impact from all the mild weather, it could come most notably for local hotels that may suffer fairly late cancellations by Czechs who thought they'd be skiing by now. Unless the weather conditions improve, that could be unavoidable. Once the season does begin, it will have a lot to live up to. Last year, 2005-2006, saw a record number of skiers and snowboarders taking advantage of much more snow. Now it's all a matter of things picking up. Snowhill's Ratka Zaharova once more.
We are expecting colder weather next weekend, and then we can start our snow guns. We hope we get a lot of snow and the winter will be fun.
This is Radio Prague. Up next, our bi-weekly closer look at Czech science. Pavla Horáková on a recently launched vaccine against cervical cancer.
Když mě to všechno vysvětlila, nebo řekla mi ty rizika té rakoviny a kolik žen umírá a tak.
15-year-old Anna Jičínská, a high school student from the city of Brno, was the first girl in the Czech Republic to be vaccinated against the human papillomavirus, the primary cause of cervical cancer, which kills around 500 women every year in this country. Anna got the first of three shots on Tuesday in Prague and says it was just like any other vaccination. It was Anna's mother's idea to get her daughter vaccinated, and she also paid the costs. The price of the three doses needed for a person to develop a sufficient level of antibodies is around 10,000 crowns or $475.
Já, když už jsem opravdu se začala o to zajímat, tak už tehdy bylo zjevné, že to nebude.
Since I started inquiring about the vaccination, I've been aware it is not going to be cheap. It is quite a lot of money, but health prevailed over money. I consulted a number of experts, including pediatricians, and had only positive response from them, and the sense that this is the best we can do in the way of prevention.
Je to nejlepší, co můžeme udělat.
Anna's mother, Kateřina Jičínská. Cervical cancer is the second most common type of cancer suffered by women worldwide. It begins in the lining of the cervix, where normal cells can develop precancerous changes that can turn into cancer. This process usually takes several years, but in some cases the development can be very rapid. The condition can be successfully treated while still at a precancerous stage. So far, the only method of prevention was regular smear tests used to detect infectious, pre-malignant and malignant processes usually caused by sexually transmitted human papillomaviruses or HPVs.
Special tests can also detect the presence of the human papillomavirus itself. Around 80% of women are believed to come into contact with the virus at some stage of their life, but in most women, their immune system can deal with the infection over a few years. Around 3-5% of women in whom the virus persists face an increased risk of developing cervical cancer. The Czech Republic, together with the other countries which joined the EU in 2004, has a very high incidence of cervical cancer compared to the old EU member states. Some 1,100 women are diagnosed with the disease every year. 500 of those die. Czech doctors agree the alarming levels need to be reduced and vaccination could play an important part in the process. Dr. Lukáš Rob is the head of the onco-gynecological ward at Prague's Motol Hospital and also the vice president of the European Society for Gynecological Oncology. He's a staunch advocate of blanket vaccination of young girls between the age of 11 and 14, that is, before their first sexual intercourse. It is vital that girls should be vaccinated before they begin their sexual life, because if they have already come into contact with the virus, the vaccine would be ineffective.
In the Czech Republic, we have relatively long-term high incidence of the cervical cancer. And for example, in Czech Republic now we have the incidence 20 per 100,000 women. And in the Great Britain is less than 7. And in the white population in the US, the incidence range between the 6 to 8, and the black population range between the 13 to 16. And again, the Czech Republic and other post-communistic countries, the new countries in the European Union, have the incidence more than 20.
Why is that?
Why is that? It's very difficult to explain it, because, for example, in all these countries we have so-called annual preventive gyne examination, but in all these countries we have annual so-called screening, but it's not really screening. We have no organization of this process. We have no evident control the site lab. We have very many small site lab, and the same situation is in the Germany. Yes, and the Germany have the 15 incidents, and the average of the European Union countries is less than 10. And the problem is that we need the big new cyto lab with the high quality. Maybe in the future we need the HPV together with the cyto smear, and it's very important for us, because this is a new area with this vaccination, to open the discussion about the vaccination in Czech Republic.
So the vaccination is to prevent the development of cervical cancer. How does the vaccine work?
It's very simple, because 99% of the cervical cancer, precancer lesion, is associated with the high-risk HPV. And this vaccine is against the type 16 and 18, and approximately 75% of women in the Central European countries is infected with these two types. But 25% is other type, and this vaccine is against these two, but the most prevalent type in the Europe.
Is the vaccine going to be covered by insurance?
I think that it's not a good idea. I think that it's necessary to open the discussion about to put the vaccination in the vaccine program in the Czech Republic between the 11 to 13, and for the oldest women, if these women want to buy this vaccine, okay. But I think that only the vaccination of whole, for example, 11 old years girls is the good idea for the future.
But is it realistic that, you know, a whole age group is vaccinated?
I think that it's necessary to vaccinate the age group before 15, because we know that before the intercourse, the effect of this vaccination is superior than if we postpone the vaccination after the intercourse period.
And one last question, what is the situation in, let's say, neighboring countries with vaccination?
Now it's open because the approval in the Europe is 1 month old, and in the US it's 6 months. But for example, US guideline, Society of Oncogynecologists, is to put this vaccination, but it's not. But now is open the discussion with the government about the payment, because if the government did not support it, I think that for the future, the role of this vaccination was very small, because this vaccine is very expensive.
Gynecologist Lukáš Rob from Prague's Motol Hospital. Doctors say the effect of the vaccination will be seen in 20 years' time at the earliest, when the girls who get vaccinated today reach an age at which the disease is most often diagnosed. Meanwhile, doctors maintain regular screening tests remain a vital preventative measure against cervical cancer.
Czech Science by Pavla Horáková brings us to the end of today's program. For everyone here at Radio Prague, it's goodbye and happy listening.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.